You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Wednesday, September the 21st. I am your host, Michael Leva, joined as always by my partner in crime, Big E, Ian Berger. Ian, how are you doing today?
Mike, we've been doing this podcast now for, 3 years maybe? I think we've been going together.
I think about 3 years we've been together, yeah.
I've never been more excited about a podcast than I am about tonight's podcast. The way that this team played over the weekend, I know we're going to get to it, but holy cow. That's all I'm going to say. Holy cow.
We always say the shows are a lot more fun when they win.
Without
the shows aren't fun when they lose, because I don't have the gene in me to sugarcoat stuff. So when they lose, I just can't do it. I don't know. I was just born that way. I can't sugarcoat it. And when they win, these shows are so much more fun and much more enjoyable. So before we get into it, a big shout out to everyone watching and listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a big thank you to everyone at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group run by the great Carlos Hernandez. If you're on Facebook, go to the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. If you're watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, thank you. Be sure to subscribe to the channel, smash that like button, also hit the alert bell so when we go live with a new show and when a new show drops, like my interview yesterday with Larry Zonka, you are notified ASAP on your smart device so you don't miss out on that stuff. So thank you to everyone on YouTube. Also, two bits of housekeeping. Number one, the Ricky Williams autographed mini helmet. That contest is still ongoing for another week or two. It ends October 1st. So whenever October 1st is, I've lost all track of time right now.
It's been a long week, man.
It's been a long week, and it's only Wednesday. Whatever October 1st is, that's when that contest ends. So if you want to win a Ricky Williams autographed mini helmet, all you have to do, literally all you have to do, is go to Podbean. Subscribe to our podcast, and then send me a screenshot as proof as to DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Then on October 2nd, I'm taking everyone's names, jumble it up. I'll go live on some platform, and we'll pick the winner. And they get a Ricky Williams autographed mini helmet. Also, Ian, I don't know if you know about this. Josh and myself, Thursday night, Dolphins-Bengals, are doing a live watch-along. Now, we did this when they played the Saints last year.
Ooh.
We are going to be here on YouTube for 3+ hours. We're going to have guests like a Manning cast join us. You can watch the game. Josh is driving over to my house, E.
Nice. Oh, wow.
We're going to do a whole setup.
Two of you guys
together. We're going to be in the same room together. We're going to watch the game. Obviously, we can't play the game. We can't play audio and all that stuff.
For copyright purposes.
Exactly. We're not going to get in trouble like you with Sony. But you can join us as you watch the game on Amazon. You can have us in the background. We're going to have on a few guests. And it was fun last year for the Saints game. Obviously, that was a game that they won from start to finish. They had a lead from start to finish. We'll see how this game goes, but that's going to be fun. So get ready for that. Dolphins Bengals Thursday night. Wow. That's going to be a fun. Oh, hold on. I got to leave the screen here. I got this.
Oh, I think I know what
you're
getting.
I think
we should
give this away.
That is such a beautiful. And that's signed by Tua Tagovailoa, if I remember correctly.
Hold on. Right there. Tua's autograph.
That's beautiful,
black,
man.
Full size.
Look at that.
I think we should give this away next month, maybe. I don't know.
You gotta find something nice to do for that one, maybe.
Oh, they're gonna look, the one we're doing now for the mini helmet, you just go to Podbean, send us a screenshot. That's fine for that. We're gonna have to do a little bit more for this one, so I'm gonna say. We'll make it jump through a couple hoops and we'll figure it out as we get closer. Now let's get to this Ravens game last week. Miami goes to 2-0 with a big comeback where the first half they looked horrible. Third quarter, they didn't look like they were lighting the world on fire either. But then the skies parted. The sun shined through. And the football gods shed light on our Miami Dolphins. as they opened the floodgates from hell and they raised holy hell on the stinking Baltimore Ravens and came storming back. Tua, 199 yards, 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter alone, 469 yards, 6 touchdowns on the day. Ian, let's get your thoughts on the Dolphins' win over the stinking Ravens.
Well, I have to tell you kind of where I was and what I was doing in my living room downstairs. I've got this IKEA project. I was putting together this new piece of furniture. And I said I was going to watch the game. I wasn't going to work on the furniture at all. You know, it was right next to the TV. So I was watching. You know, it's 14-7. It's 21, you know, it's 21-7. It's 28-7. We go to halftime. I'm like, I'm going to start working on this piece of furniture at halftime. So I'm working on it, right? And then the third quarter starts and I'm still working on it, watching the TV while I'm working on it. And then the fourth quarter gets there and I'm still working. But then the one touchdown happens, right? We're only three touchdowns away. I'm like, all right, if we can get to within one more, then this could be really interesting, right? All right, we were down three touchdowns, excuse me. And then the next touchdown happens. I'm like, all right, I'm not touching this thing anymore. I'm just going to sit here on the floor. I'm going to watch TV and let's see what happens. And then it's within seven. I go and sit on the couch and I'm like, I'm not doing anything more with IKEA. The rest of I'm focusing on this game. And my wife and part of my family were downstairs with me and I was screaming like a little kid. I, especially when we tied it up, man, I felt when we tied it up, I said, the momentum is in our favor. There's just no way Baltimore is going to come back. But I cannot remember the last time I felt that way about a football game. Yes, the Miami Miracle is wonderful. Yes, that what was it, Thursday night game against the Raiders where we, you know, where it was the Fitzpatrick face mask.
Saturday night game,
right? I felt good about that. But this is different. This is different because our team means something now. Our team has something, you know, they can walk around a little bit with their chest out a little bit more because guess what? We have given Tua the receivers, the line, the running backs that can help him be more successful. And that's, we talked about this in the offseason, Mike, and we said it, and you and I talked about this a lot. All right, he's had two seasons, the worst offensive line in the NFL, you know, no running game at all, minimal guys on the outside wide receivers from a skills perspective. You know, Tyreek comes in, Teron comes in, and this place, that's exactly what I envisioned Tua could do because I knew he was the same guy he was from Alabama. He just needed some additional talent around him. Now, I know we're going to talk about this week, so I'm not even going to talk about it, but what an amazing game. And like, I couldn't even sleep Sunday night. Yeah, you know, I think I finally got to bed at like 1 a.m. or something like that, but I was exhausted Monday. I'm still catching up on my sleep for the week.
Yeah, and essentially, here's what's happened this year for the Dolphins. They've won two games, and they have yet to play a complete game. They have yet to play their best football, but that's what good teams do. When they don't play complete games, when they don't play a full four quarters, they still find a way to win against teams they should beat. Now, you could say the Patriots or Ravens are on equal level with us, and they probably are in the big picture of the NFL world, but Miami found a way to beat each one of those teams. Against the Patriots, I know everyone was happy to beat the Patriots. We only scored one offensive touchdown. I wasn't as happy as everyone else because I was not impressed with our offense in that game. In this game, for three quarters, we were a ho-hum team, middle of the road. The fourth quarter is what we've been waiting for three stinking years for with Tua.
Yep.
Everything yep. came together in the fourth quarter. Now, let's put this into perspective. Here's what happened. Everything around him wasn't going great. Everything around him wasn't perfect. It was falling apart. But he, as I've been saying for years, what great quarterbacks do, talk is cheap, okay? Fans, most diehard fans can spin stuff and argue with national media. It doesn't matter. Only one person could change a narrative about Tua, and that was Tua. And what he did is, when things weren't going perfect, the blocking wasn't perfect, and the team was getting killed, special teams had a bad day. Xavier Howard had a bad day. The defense had a bad day. Tua put the team on his back and carried him to win. Yep. A great quarterback has to do that 3 to 4 times a year.
Yep.
This was the first time we've seen it to him in 3 years. And it's great. And anyone who's going to harp on the two poor decisions he made in the first half with those interceptions, shut up and go away. Because the big picture here is, I'll live with two bad decisions and two interceptions if you finish the game like that. Yep. And that's why you can't harp on that. Some people are going to harp on it. They're morons. Like I said, I don't want to talk to morons. I don't care what they think. But this was the first game he finally looked like the fifth overall pick in the draft. And he earns every accolade he gets this week, every bit of credit he wins this week, offensive player of the week, and whatever. Throw it all on.
Beautiful.
He deserves every bit of it because he played lights out in the fourth quarter and dragged this team to a win on the road versus a good team. So for this week, this is what we that hopefully this is a jumping off point.
Yep.
Because I hate to say it. Now we got the Bills. If he goes out there, throws for 180 yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions, and we lose, there's going to be a lot of people saying, I told you so, it was a fluke last week. That's just the world we live in.
Yep.
But I don't care about that. But because this was the moment. He had a moment that we haven't seen yet, and hopefully this is the start of more good things to come. He needs to back it up, no doubt. This isn't over by any means, but good Lord, thank you, God. We might now I couldn't say for 3 years, like many people couldn't, because I know fans get upset with people in the national media, and I get it. Nobody wants to hear bad stuff said about their team. I get it. But as I've always said, those people aren't necessarily wrong. Just because you don't want to hear it doesn't make them wrong. Now, the people who support him, like all of us do, we're fans of his team, we all support him, have something tangible we can say, but see this. We haven't had that yet.
Now we, I think, Mike, we've been talking the last 2.5 years about his game against the Arizona Cardinals, right? That was the best game that he had.
That was a long time ago.
And it was a long time ago. So now that is long forgotten. And now people can really see what he can do under pressure, you know, down from, you know, coming back from behind and really making plays happen with his feet. Because remember, too, I mean, I just vividly I see him making that spin around move to you know, to have a defender go right by him so that he can extend the play. And all of those things, man, these are things that we knew he was capable of doing. And it was just so beautiful to watch. It was, I think I've probably watched the highlights from that game, I'd say at minimum 100 times, if that, right? Probably more than that, because I'll see something here, see something there. I think today I saw where Teron Armstead was on the offensive line during that last drive of the game. And he was just like telling everybody to calm down. He was looking at Tua. Like, calm down, man. You know, this is exciting. And Tua, what do they say? He had ice in his veins during, you know, during that last quarter of the game. This is, that's our quarterback, you know, and now with that type of performance, knowing that he can do that, I think the expectation is going to be high. But also I think that there's now this national allure to Tua that we have never seen in his entire NFL career. It was always about Tua can't do this. He can't throw the ball long. You know, Tua, he can't scramble in the pocket to extend plays. You know, Tua can't win in the fourth quarter. He can't come back from a deficit. And he just proved everybody wrong. And some people try and downplay who the Baltimore Ravens are. And yes, they were a little dinged up in the backfield, but they were up by 4 touchdowns.
Exactly.
I don't care who you have in the backfield. If you are up by 4 touchdowns, there is zero reason. I don't care if you have a third stringer back there. There is zero reason for you to lose a game.
They look damn healthy for 3 quarters, I'll tell you that. For 3 quarters, they were shutting us down. So I don't want to hear about injuries because they're out there playing. For 3 quarters, let's be honest. We had the touchdown in the first half. That was a nice drive, 97 yards. That was a nice drive. That was their only pretty much positive thing in the first half was that one drive that went 97 yards. Great. The second half, they had another touchdown because they went to the fourth quarter with only 14 points. I think that was the Mike Gesicki touchdown. That was great. But I mean, for 3 quarters, nobody was talking about the Ravens. Nobody was talking about the Ravens being hurt. Okay. So nope. I don't want to hear that. And two, I don't want to hear about this other thing about guys running, you know, wide open down the field. That's their problem. That's not our problem. He got him the ball. Okay. He got him the ball. You can't knock him. He got him the ball. And that's what we've been waiting for. Again, when it comes to like people in the national media who still might not be all in, a lot of folks, here's what I say about the national media. You can't be mad at them for having a football opinion that doesn't match with yours. Now, when people go over the top and get into like the personal aspect of this and start saying, you know, he's got like a noodle arm, that gets to the personal level where there's something going on there. But when someone just said, like today, Stephen A. Smith, I know a lot of fans don't like Stephen A. Smith. That's fine. He gave a football opinion. I might not agree with it, but he's not being personal. He doesn't have a vendetta. He gave a fair football opinion that's more than fair, which was he doesn't think the Dolphins are a threat to the Bills. That's a football opinion. He's entitled to that. He might even be right for all I know. So I don't get mad at that stuff, but for 3 years, Tua hadn't given any real tangible evidence he could do any of this. Now he has. So it's a game changer. Now he has. And now he just has to build off this. I don't expect 400 yards and 6 touchdowns every week. Nobody does. That's unrealistic. But we expect consistent, solid play. Where, and plus, we know in games, okay, we're down by a little early. Things aren't going right. Tua, this is the one of the 2, 3, 4 times a year. We need you to carry this team. We need you to drive the bus. I said last week, what did I say? Tua is a guy who's a passenger on the bus. He's never driving the bus. The defense is driving the bus. Yep. Last Sunday, Tua was driving the bus. And teams that win Super Bowls need their quarterbacks to drive the bus. So he needs to drive the bus.
Even the best defenses, Mike, even the best defenses have will days. Have those Everyone games does. Where they give up 30 points. But the offense has to be able to score 31 points. We've talked about it. I've said it before. And that's exactly what we saw on Sunday. And before I continue, happy birthday to our friend Carlos Hernandez.
Oh, Carlos.
Miami Dolphins Facebook page. He does amazing things out there. And hopefully you're having a wonderful birthday. And hopefully the Dolphins will bring you a birthday gift on Sunday, even though it's a couple days later.
Yep, absolutely. And let's talk about some. There's really not much news this week. It's been a pretty quiet week, which is good. We always want quiet. Quiet, something we don't get much for the Dolphins. Quiet's good. So let's go. I mean, the only real news is the injury front, which Armstead, Melvin Ingram had just pretty much their rest days today. They did not participate in practice. Went really nothing into it there. Hunter Long still got an ankle injury, and Seathan Carter still has a concussion issue. So they're a little thin at tight end right now. Keep an eye on that. Xavier Howard's a big name here we got to talk about. From Xavier Howard is a groin issue, which might have played a role into last week's poor performance by him. And hopefully, you know, he was not a participant in practice today. So that's always concerning. It might have been a rest day for him anyways, but it was listed as a groin issue. And if you saw him play last week, you can see he might have a groin issue. He did not look like his typical self. If the Dolphins didn't want any chance of having a win this Sunday versus the Bills, Xavier Howard needs to be 100% or as close to it as he can get. Because that secondary is already thin. And if he's not what he needs to be, it could be a long day Sunday. So Xavier Howard, I guess the real big news story of the past 24 hours, that groin, can he be 100% or damn close to it by Sunday? That's the concern right now.
I'll tell you too with that, and you're right, and you never like to see anybody on the injury report. Although, if I remember correctly, this time last week we were worried that Tron Armstead wasn't going to play because he that toe injury showed up, right, and he wasn't practicing. But at the same time, it said it was a vet rest day, if I remember right. They just might be very cautious with him. I'm sure they want to get Xavier out there, and they know how important he is to that team.
Well, I'm sure he'll play.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure he'll play. But how healthy? He can't play like he did last week though, because we're done.
With that said, though, I mean, how about Darth Cater Kahu? I mean, have you seen this kid? He is. Yeah. What did I see a stat that he's one of the top 5 cornerbacks? What was that?
But
PFF
he hasn't been on the,
or one of those crazy.
Yeah, with a minimum of like 25 snaps, and I think he just qualifies for the minute. Look, I'm not knocking the kid. Don't get me wrong. That's one of those stats, like with a lot of PFF staffs, I've always said. Don't even believe
pick and choose.
That's one of those stats you take with a grain of salt, because if he'd been on the field for like 80 snaps this year, that's like, whoa, this guy is like a lockdown corner. He just barely met the minimum requirement for snaps. So look, it's still good.
Doing good for the minimum requirement.
Still good
Yeah.
for what he's being asked to do. And when Jones comes back, his playing time will obviously reduce a little bit, or a lot actually. But no, he looks like a keeper. He looks like someone who maybe in a year or two could be your starting nickelback or something like that. No, he looks like someone that they totally found out of nowhere, who's going to be on this team for a few years and be a contributor for years to come. I just be careful with that stat. That's one of those tricks. Look, a lot of these stats.
So last thing that's
drive you nuts.
Last thing about, and I know we want to move forward, but last thing from last week's game, you know, a lot of people weren't believing when Tyreek was talking about and coach McDaniel was talking about how accurate Tua was. That touchdown throw to Mike Gesicki in the end zone was so darn accurate. And he knew I had to throw it up high where only my 6'6" tight end can get to. And Mike jumped probably, what, a foot and a half out of the air to be able to grab that. I think I said heard someone say that he almost hit his head against the goalpost when he jumped up so high. But then the game-winning touchdown with Jalen Waddle, he had to get it in Jalen's hands with the defender's hands about maybe a foot and a half below Jalen's. If that is not accuracy, I don't know what is. And I'll tell you, all of these I've said this, I use that term way too often that I said this, but we've talked about this before where what Tua went through the last 2 years with having to get the ball out of his hands quickly, having to make quick decisions, all of those things are helping him become the player that he is today. And I think that was evident from the game that we saw on Sunday, that he was able to make quick decisions, that he was able to squirm out of the pocket when he needed to. And I always knew that he could throw the ball down the field. We saw it in the preseason game. He just didn't do it that often because he didn't have a lot of time to do it.
All these guys can throw it down.
Exactly. They're NFL quarterbacks. That's, now, it may not be his top strength, and I think that's where some people, you know, have conversations, but he's still an NFL quarterback. You're not going to bring in an NFL quarterback that is not able to throw the ball down the field. So, but now he's surrounded by talent that you can take advantage of some of these things. So this is I could talk about that game forever, bro. No,
there's two things, and that's why I see stuff sometimes. I have to really bite my tongue because I see stuff on social media. I see stuff even with the media, like the real media, and I see stuff with fans or see stuff on TV. There's two narratives that really, really have to die. One is, you know, can he throw deep? You're not picked fifth overall if you can't throw it deep, okay? You're not in the NFL as a starting quarterback if you can't throw it deep. Could some guys throw it farther than others? Of course they can. But you're not going to get a shot in a real game with a team or the head coach is going to put his name and his reputation, his job on the line with a quarterback who just can't throw it deep. They all can throw it deep. It's all about A, do they have the talent around them and enough time to throw it deep? And B, do they have wide receivers who can get downfield to catch the ball if they throw it far down the field? And three, is there a need to? Sometimes there's not a need to throw it deep. So it's like, well, I can't see him throw it. Well, yeah, because they don't have to. So all quarterbacks can throw it deep. The other one that needs to go away, and if I hear another person on TV talk about this, or if I hear another person at one of these press conferences ask him or talk about Tua's confidence, I swear to freaking God, I'm going to throw my computer screen right out the window. Yeah. Every player in the NFL has confidence, folks. You know, making it to the NFL, especially as a starting quarterback, someone who's picked fifth in the draft, has confidence. They don't need to have, he's got no confidence, it's damaged. How's his confidence today? It's like taking someone's temperature every day. But he's got confidence. That's not the issue. The issue was he didn't perform on the field, and there was other factors we know. But confidence ain't an issue for any of these guys. They can play. They have more than enough confidence. Tua, the day Roger Goodell said his name, has $35 million in the bank. 1 second after that, name was read off the card. Trust me, he's got confidence with $35 million in the bank. He ain't waking up nervous, okay? Trust me. They all got confidence. Don't worry about Tua's confidence. Take off the mittens. Take off the huggies. He's a big boy. His confidence is fine. The issues were just of various factors on the field where we never saw what we hoped to see until last week.
With that said, Mike.
Yeah.
However, if you are out there playing a football game and you are worried that if I make a mistake that I am going to get benched for another quarterback because I don't think my head coach believes in me, that can affect how you play because it's in your mind. And that makes you think, I better not throw that ball down the field because if I make a mistake, I am done for, versus I'm going to throw these 5 to 10 yard short passes because I know I'm accurate, because I know I can get them there, and hopefully those guys can make some plays. I think Coach McDaniel has built up his confidence so much that he's gone to him and said, Tua, listen, you threw an interception. Rub it off. Or, well, not rub it off. Rub your shoulder, whatever the saying. Let it go. Actually, that's the right verbiage. Let it go. you know, you have another, you have three quarters of football to play or a half of football to play. And then he did it a second time. You know, listen, let it go. Continue playing this football game. And I love what Coach McDaniel said, that he told the team before the game that he was hoping that they'd see a little bit of adversity, you know, during this game, because during the Patriots game, the Dolphins were up the entire game from start to finish. And Mike McDaniel said, I didn't think they would take it so literally that we would be down 4 touchdowns. That was a funny moment.
Yeah. It's that time of the show.
My favorite time of the show. We've been talking. There's been a lot of talk about balls over the last 2 weeks. So I can't wait for this segment.
I think Mike McDaniel's watching our show. I think Tyreek Hill's watching our show. And I think we need to get them some Manscaped, because there's been a lot of talk about below the waist grooming and just below the waist stuff in general. Excuse me. Because welcome to Fresh Ball Fall. It's finally here. The season of pumpkin spice and making sure your crotch looks nice. That means sipping cider in the fall breeze and using Manscaped products to trim your balls with ease. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped, a company here to make sure your foliage isn't the only thing shedding its excess leaves. Heck, Mother Nature knows it's time to lose the excess clutter for the fall. So join the 6 million men worldwide by going to manscaped.com. Using the promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20% on your order and get free shipping. That's right. Go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. You will save 20% on your order and get free shipping with the glorious package. And we got a lot of paper. We got the Platinum Package 4.0. Let's talk about the Platinum Package 4.0. It's with this glorious package, you can align your entire hygiene routine all in one swoop. Inside the 10-part Platinum Package is everything you need to know and love about the Performance Package, plus some shower goodies included to elevate your grooming game to the Platinum level. The Lawnmower 4.0 Body Trimmer and Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer. There's that. In addition to shaving, you can now completely upgrade your shower routine with the Ultra Premium Body Wash and Ultra Premium 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner. You'll have your skin and hair feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. Don't forget to apply their aluminum-free Ultra Premium deodorant. And don't worry, it's not pumpkin spice. It's cologne-quality fragrance built for men. But we shouldn't have the signature scents for our pits. But we shouldn't save a signature scent just for our pits, I should say. Use the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner, which Mike McDaniel Tua might need right now, because those big balls are probably dragging against them right up against the ground. So everyone go to manscaped.com, promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20% of your order, get free shipping. And honestly, all joking aside with live read, here's the deal, folks, with Manscaped. Manscaped, I know the groomers aren't for everybody. We get it. We're in on the joke. But their shampoo, 2-in-1 conditioner, and their body wash and the boxer shorts, that stuff is A1 top-notch quality. So if you are buying stuff at the supermarket, if you're buying stuff at a drugstore, shampoo, body wash, stop. Because why pay full price? Why use your gas money? We know the price of gas is still high. It's gone down a little bit, still high. Go to manscaped.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. You'll save 20%, and they will mail it to your house for free. And Ian will tell you, the shampoo conditioner bottles are like really, really big, and they last you a while. And they're made of aluminum containers, high quality. The scent is high quality. So if you're just buying shampoo, if you're just buying the body wash, do that at Manscaped and save 20%. Let them send it to you. Don't pay full price at a store. It makes no sense.
I love Manscaped. The shampoo is wonderful. Body spray is wonderful.
They're the best.
Yeah.
They are the best. Now, this week, Miami Dolphins have the Buffalo Bills, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Same announcers as last week, Kevin Harlan and Trent Green. Check your local listings. It's on mainly in the South Florida area and some parts of Northeast. I can't go through the whole map because it just really gets divided. If it's not on in your local area, you got to get the Sunday ticket, which hopefully it works for everyone this week. I know there was a big problem last week. People were really, really mad. At least they should be. Here's the deal, E. I'll give some thoughts. And we'll take your thoughts, and then we'll do a prediction here at the end. First thoughts with the Bills. All joking aside, as some people know, I like to have some fun with our friends from Buffalo, New York every now and then, like I did Sunday night with Tom. Here's the deal. This is the best team in the league. There's no question about that. If you watch them in either of the two games this year, if you watch them in the AFC Championship game last year, which they should have won, their head coach screwed it up. They should have won that one. And and if they win that one, they probably win the Super Bowl last year. But through two games this year, it's tough to find a weakness on this team. The only thing you can nitpick, and you want to talk about nitpicking, is they don't run the ball with great consistency. But outside of that,
but Josh Allen runs the ball when he's got moments.
Turn in hand. Oh, and once again, I know I'm nitpicking here. They have the best team in the league, top to bottom. They are as good can be. Josh Allen, in my opinion, is the best quarterback in the league. He's past Rodgers. He's past Brady. I think he's even past Mahomes on some level. He is in a zone right now. They are the outstanding wide receivers, solid offensive line. Von Miller added to the pass rush that was already good. Sean McDermott, not a huge fan, really. I think he's kind of overrated, but he doesn't screw it up that much. He's perfectly fine as a head coach. This is going to be a tall task. They've had our number for many, many years. Of late, I should say, of late. This is as well-rounded of a team as there is right now. I've seen in many years in this league, and they're coming to Hard Rock. And, Ian, this ain't going to be easy.
I agree.
How much more you can say?
You know, and for all the smack-talking that's going on right now, I think that there's definitely, you know, this – I wouldn't say a concern, but I would say that it's a respect, I think, for what the team has done, not just against the Dolphins for the last three seasons, but also for the first two teams that they played against this year. They didn't just beat those teams, right? They demolished them. The Rams was game one and Tennessee Titans. I will say this, the Titans don't look like a good team. Yeah, they are the, how do I put this nicely? They are the New England Patriots that we played week one, where you know they're just not good. Now, the difference was that the Bills, you know, they just kept scoring and scoring to the point where Josh Allen got pulled, I think, in the middle of the third quarter, and all the starters ended up getting pulled. But they're a very good team. And I think the Dolphins are going to have their hands full. But there are some things that the Dolphins have that, you know, that are going to be very, very different that that the Bills have not seen yet from a Miami Dolphins team that they've played in the last 3 years, you know, and they're going to come down and it's going to be nice and hot. And we've seen how that heat can affect some players at certain points. So when we figured out what the final records were going to be at the beginning of the season, I know I said I thought the Dolphins would end up losing to the Bills in week three. This was before the season started. But I also said, I do not anticipate that Buffalo Bills are going to go undefeated this year. There are going to be games where they can be beaten. And why not allow that? Why not that be week three? Why not have that be in Miami? Because if that happens, Miami Dolphins Nation is going to go crazy. And I've already heard, I was talking to my dad on the way home. He was telling me about the newspaper article that Dave Hyde wrote this morning. You know, it said if they were to beat the Buffalo Bills, we wouldn't just be talking about playoffs potentials for the Miami Dolphins. We'd be talking about them being contenders for the championship. And that's exactly what Dave Hyde wrote.
If the Dolphins beat the Bills this week, if you thought the Miami Dolphins and national tension they got this past week was something, you ain't seen nothing yet, folks. It's going to feel like 1992 all over again. It really, really is. I mean, I know some fans were probably, you know, in their Pampers back in 1992. The younger generation doesn't realize where Miami was in the early 90s and stuff when it was Bills, Dolphins, the Bills are going to all the Super Bowls. The rivalry was ramped up. We all know the stories of Brian Cox, all that stuff. Unless you lived it, it can't be put into words. You had to be there for it. If Miami won this week and they take an early lead in the AFC East by a game, which I know it's early and all that stuff, the national attention Miami's going to get, they would have not have seen since, you know, not just the Marino years, the mid to early Marino years. Yep. We're talking when peak Marino, which peak Marino, for those who don't know, is 84 to 92 pre the injury. He comes back after 93 in the injury. He was still good. Then there's a drop off of the final 3-4 years of his career. Peak Marino, though, is 84 to 92. And that's when this team, you know, there was a couple bad years like 87 and such. 88 was nothing to write home about either. But most of the other years, Miami was a contender. They're in the playoffs. People talk about them in the Super Bowl mix. they win this week versus Buffalo, they're going to be the talk of the NFL for the near future. Okay. The talk, because even if they lose, they're going to be the talk of the NFL because the Bills are that good right now. Everyone picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl. If the Bills come down to Miami and lose to Tua, folks, put on your seatbelt. This is going to be a wild ride this year. I'm telling you that. That's how big this game is. That's how big this game is. Now, if they play, Miami plays them close but still lose,
there's no end in hope because we're still
got
something.
There's no moral victories here, folks, anymore. There's no moral victories, okay? As I've said heading into this year, people are fighting for their lives. People are fighting for their jobs. That includes your general manager, your head coach. Everyone loves him right now, as they should. He knows look, the Sean Payton stuff was true, okay? It just was. So he knows what happened here the past 6 to 8 months, and you got a quarterback who's under the fire. One start, don't change that. So this results matter. Play them close and lose. There's something to take away from that. Play them and they get, you know, blown out like they have in recent years, then that won't be fun. But if they win, a generation of fans who haven't experienced this are going to experience something that I haven't had the opportunity to experience since the 90s, really, and a lot of fans haven't experienced ever, and that's a legitimate Super Bowl contending team in South Florida. Dan Levitard this week on his show, I don't know how many people watch that, I tune in every now and then, said last Sunday's game was the most fun he's had in 20 years watching the Dolphins. And you know what? He ain't wrong. Because the past 20 years has been absolutely brutal being a fan. For those who were around in the 80s and 90s, and even the 70s, that which ate me, really, the past 20 years have been brutal. So we see this ray of sunshine. We see this ray of hope. And a win this Sunday, oh, my God, would reset the landscape of South Florida sports. The past 15, 20 years, it's been more of a heat town. But a Dolphins win this week, the Heat are going to take a back seat for a while here, okay?
Yep,
the Heat
for
and the
a while.
NBA, but they can go take their ball and go bounce it somewhere else for a while. The Dolphins, as they did in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, are going to own South Florida. That's how big this game is this week because it sends a message to the league. This ain't a fluke. This team's for real, and they got a real quarterback. And that hasn't been something we've been able to say since Dan Marino played his last game, which seems forever ago.
Talking about being real, I'm going to share my screen for 1 second. I'm going to see if I don't know if you can happen to see that or not, Mike.
I took that picture. Yes,
you took that picture because you live in Buffalo or close to Buffalo, right?
Oh, I'm in Syracuse. Which
you're in Syracuse.
It's not the heart of Bill's country, but it's freaking close enough. I took that picture at a Wegmans. Here's the thing right now. Let me say this. Wegmans, I will never say a bad thing about Wegmans. They are the greatest supermarket in America. They're always voted the best place to live or the best place to work. They are a fantastic place. What I hate about Wegmans this time of year is two things. Their Wegmans subs, which are outstanding, they put a Bills thing on the sleeve that you put the sub in. Drives me nuts. Because Wegmans is
Bill's
based
country,
in Rochester.
All right.
That's where that's where it was formed, Rochester, New York, which is the heart of Bills country. I get it. And also, they sell crap like that. So I was in a Wegmans a couple Saturdays ago prior to the week one game. I'm walking up the aisle, and I see that. Are you freaking kidding me? And it comes in three different things, hot, mild, and something else. I don't even know what the third one was. So I think that was I don't know if it was our friend with a mountain. It might have been our friend with a mountain. I don't know who runs the mountain there. Took my picture and took out the L and mild and just made it mid, which I thought was outstanding.
I loved it.
It was outstanding. But yes, I took that picture at a Wegmans here locally in Syracuse. And no, Publix not better. I've been to Publix. I've gone to South Florida many times now. I've been there. I'm not knocking it, and it's okay to be number two. Until you've been to Wegmans and you ask anybody in South Florida, ask Adam Beasley, Greg Likens, Antoine Staley, any of the quote-unquote Syracuse folks down there. I know there's a lot of Bill stuff there. I know. Ask any of the South Florida media people or people who have been in the media who went to Syracuse or spent time in Syracuse or in Rochester, stuff like that. They will tell you it's not even a discussion Wegmans is better. Publix is – nobody's knocking Publix, and it's okay to be number two. There's no shame in that game. But it's Wegmans. It's not even close.
So here's the thing. And back when Marino,
and I hate what they're doing too. But still,
it's all right. Back when Marino was, you know, Marino, we had Merino Wheaties, you know, we had Merino Foods, we had the gloves, we had, you know, you had everything Merino locally. So that made sense. So now here's the question, and we're going to have to get creative. I think we're going to have to put something out there on social media. If one of the grocery giants decides to start selling Tua food, what is the best type of food that Tua is going to be associated with?
See, the easiest one is cereal, because cereal, let's be honest, yes, some taste better than others. You throw in enough milk, it all tastes the freaking same in my book. And you can't really screw it up. You had Flutie Flakes. You got Josh Allen's got a cereal. Pretty much everyone's had a cereal at some point in their life. Any somebody famous, and all the proceeds usually go to a charity, all that good stuff, which is great. Tua cereal, I don't know what you call it. Tua tuna. See, that's getting creative. That's funny. Tua tuna.
That's great.
There's something. Yeah, there's some marketing whiz. Somebody with some type of business needs to come
Tua turkey.
Tua turkey. You know, for your Thanksgiving, get your Tua turkey. There's something. I don't know. There needs to be something. wheelbarrows. There you go.
Darn right. That's been the talk of town.
If you don't get that joke, you haven't been paying attention this week. But yes. There needs to be something with Tua. See, I'm not down there, so I don't know if there is already. Oh, here's a good one. Tua tarts. Not Pop Tarts. Oh, yeah. Get your Tua tarts.
I was thinking
something
Tua
like
Tang,
that needs to happen.
Tua Tang.
And all the money goes to, you know, can go to his foundation and all that good stuff. But that would be very, very much fun. And now, E, before we get to our prediction on today's or on this Sunday's game, let's talk about one of our other sponsors here at the website and the podcast, True Classic Tees. Everyone goes to trueclassic.com, promo code Dolphins Talk there. You will save 25% on your order. 25. And True Classic, they got shirts for men, for guys. You know, you see these guys on TV, your Ryan Goslings, your Brad Pitts. You know, they can't hold a candle to guys like me and Ian. Okay, we understand. When it comes to looks, me and Ian got them beat. But they got the six packs and the abs and all that stuff. That's not how real people look. Real men got a little bit of a beer belly and have an imperfect shape. We know that. That's why you want to go to True Classic and get their shirts, because their shirts aren't big and boxy. They are perfectly fit to highlight your best features, which are usually around the shoulders and chest. And then they taper off towards the bottom to sort of disguise the beer gut or hide some extra weight you might be packing. And at True Classic, they have the most comfortable shirts, as Ian can attest to. They are very soft, very comfortable, and very – on a Sunday, when you're watching a Dolphins game, if you don't want to wear the jersey, throw in a True Classic shirt, you'll relax and watch the game in one of the most comfortable pieces of material out there. And they got more than just T-shirts. They got your hoodies. They got your long-sleeve shirts. They got the boxer briefs, which also with the pouch for the bulge to make that feel comfortable. And everything else at trueclassic.com. Trueclassic.com, promo code Dolphin Stuff. You will save 25% on your order. That's right, 25%. And they also have a 30-day return policy. So if you get something that might be the wrong size or something you don't like, you can send it back. No worries there. This is the place to get the best clothes for men. Men, if you want to, you know, like I said, hide that stuff that we sometimes want to hide, but also feel comfortable, trueclassic.com, promo code Dolphins Talk. Save 25% on your order, because, folks, let's stop beer belly shaming with better clothes. So, Ian, we are 2-0 on our picks. We are red, red hot.
And I'm 2-0 on my season picks, too. I don't know if you picked them to go 2-0 on the season picks.
No, I had them
at 1-1, I think, at this point.
Yeah, but that stuff.
I'm going to take some credit where it's due. Right? I don't get much credit.
But on the show, picks week to week, because stuff's very fluid, injury stuff. These are the picks that we count. And let's get right to it with the graphic.
It's now time for Mike's Fearless Prediction.
All right. Here's the deal. This Sunday, Hard Rock Stadium, 1 p.m., CBS. Kevin Harlan. Trent Green, Buffalo, Miami. The Buffalo Bills have beaten the Dolphins like a drum in recent years. This trend has to change if you're the Dolphins. They cannot continue to just let the Bills stomp all over them week after week, year after year, every time they line up together. Miami beating this team in Buffalo in December, I think, seems unlikely. So at home in September, this is where it can happen. It's supposed to be 86 on Sunday. Scattered thunderstorms. It's going to be muggy as hell. The Buffalo Bills just played a Monday Night Football. They have a short week. They're traveling in this heat. Do I expect Tua to throw for 400 yards every week? No. Do I expect 250, though? And maybe three touchdown drives? I don't care how he scored a touchdown. You don't have to pass for him. You can turn and hand off to Chase Edmonds if he runs in. Whatever. Can he throw for 250 and lead three touchdown drives? I don't think that's being unreasonable. Now, it comes down to the defense. Can they rebound and play much better than they did last week? And that's really the million-dollar question, because this Bills offense hasn't missed a beat now for eight quarters. They are just high-powered, and they've run it up on two decent teams here. Rams, obviously Super Bowl champs, and the Tennessee Titans. So, Ian, this prediction comes down to this. Do I pick with my heart, or do I pick with my head? Do I put this little headgear on like Lee Corso and predict Miami to win? Or do I pick with my head telling me this Bills team might be too good? And as I ponder this decision, a few things come to mind. We're playing the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo, New York, our good friends. As I like to call them, Canada's landfill. That's what Buffalo, New York is. Buffalo, New York. A place where nothing happens every minute of the day. You know, Buffalo got hit with a tornado a few months back, and it did $3 million worth of improvements. Okay, that's how bad Buffalo is. You know, in England, jolly old England, and we mourn the Queen like they do, they drive on the left side of the road. In Buffalo, New York, they drive on what is left of the road. It is not a great place. They're coming down to our house, though, South Florida. And the Bills Mafia... You know, screw you. Go stick it. And by the way, Tim Horton sucks. Give me the Dolphins, 28. The Bills, 27. Miami's going to do the unthinkable this week and win.
Ian, I love it. I love the prediction, Mike. I love the prediction. Here it is, Mike. I'm taking off my glasses to make me look more serious. The Dolphins. We've lost six games in a row against the Buffalo Bills. I think the last time we won, it was against the Charles Clay wide open in the end zone to end the game.
I can't remember the last time we won, honestly.
Yep. It was Charles Clay in the end zone, wide open, and he was underthrown to end the game. The Bills have beaten the crap out of us many of times over the last 3 years. They've beaten the crap out of the first two teams that they've played. But Mike, I don't know if you've noticed, there's a few things that are different now with this Miami Dolphins team this season than there have been the last 3 years when the Buffalo Bills have killed us. You've got a new head coach that brings positivity, that allows for mistakes, allows the team to learn from their mistakes. You've got Teron Armstead, who is a leader all into himself that is helping that offensive line be better. You have Tyreek Hill. I don't even think I need to say anything about Tyreek Hill. The man is a monster. He is the fastest player, I think, in the National Football League, and he makes plays left and right. But also, we've got Tyreek Hill. I'm sorry, I just said Tyreek. We've got Tua, another name that starts with a T. Tua Tagovailoa. And he has been preparing for this weekend's game for the last 2 years and two games. And he knows what's at stake. He's played them. He's watched them on the sidelines as they've kicked our butts. And he is going to come out. And yeah, he might make a mistake or two, just like he did last weekend. But he is one of, if not the most accurate quarterback in the National Football League right now. And he is not going to make the same mistakes that we've had. And guess what? We have a different offensive line. So he's not going to get knocked out in the first play or the first drive of the football game. He's going to have to be in there the entire game
which is going to be a little different for the Buffalo Bills. And I think they are not taking this game seriously. I think they are a little bit more banged up this week than they were last week. But with that said, these are the Buffalo Bills. So my prediction for this week, it's going to be the Miami Dolphins 24 and the Buffalo Bills 21. Let's go. Dolphins go 3-0. We are contenders for the Super Bowl in 2022 to 2023. Whew! That was a little loud. Yes. Sorry. That was loud in my ear.
That's okay. No, get excited, because if we can't have fun doing this show, what the hell are we doing it for? Everyone, put your predictions in the chat as well. We'll share a couple.
Oh, yeah. I love it. 30-14.
30-14 Dolphins win. Steve Miley, good listener to our show. 34-31. I think I saw some others up here. Let me get them real quick. Maybe not. Maybe those are the only two right now. I got to start mentioning that before I start talking. I forget. Put your predictions up in the chat for those watching live on YouTube. This is it, folks. I mean, you got to beat these guys eventually. If they come to our house and win, it's not the end of the world by any means, but it just does signify a few things that the Bills are still head and shoulders above us, which is okay. You can still get in the playoffs as a wild card, and who knows what happens as a wild card. But this is one of those games where it's a statement game. It's a statement game, period. Win. Just win. And when you play a team that's this good, who is clearly the leader of the pack here, I don't care how you win. I don't care how good it is. Just win the game. And that's what we got this Sunday, Hard Rock Stadium. Get there, and hopefully we can just find a way to win here, because, like I said, changes everything. If you thought the media attention we've got this week is big, ooh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, as we wrap up, a couple things. Number one, I sort of mentioned it in passing. Yesterday, Tuesday, I had a 35-minute interview with Larry Zonka. That's right, Larry friggin' Zonka, the Hall of Famer, the GOAT, number 39, retired, Pro Football Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame, Super Bowl MVP, that guy. We spoke about everything. Spoke about the 72 team, spoke about his relationship with Shula. We spoke about the no-name defense. We gives a lot of credit to, more credit than I've ever heard anybody give them. We talk about his time at Syracuse. We talk about his time in Alaska. We covered his life soup to nuts, and we pretty much in the whole interview, and he has a new book out, which you can pre-order, goes on sale October 4th, which you are going to want to get, because I've read the book cover to cover. I got an advanced copy. It's awesome. And if you want to know about the 72 season, the 73 season, his relationships with players on the team and all that stuff, this is the book. Because if you know Larry, and the stories are just endless. Stories about in Syracuse, his first roommate had a problem with acne. And his first roommate in the top drawer had all these supplies to solve his acne problem. And Larry's trying to sleep. And every night, that roommate's up to 2 o'clock in the morning with the light on, trying to put all these lotions and cream on. And Larry goes, "We can't be roommates no more. You got to get the hell out of here, because I can't deal with your acne problem. I can't sleep." Once Larry was in the dean's office, you know, 4 times a year, every year. One time he's walking back. There's a kid in the hallway of a dorm dancing with a mop. Well, guess what Larry did? Smacked his ass. "Larry, go to the dean. You're in trouble." There are so many great stories. Larry gets a part-time job at a car dealership at night, the overnight shift, to sort of do security. Some guys come to try to take some cars. We ran into Larry Zonka. I won't tell you the rest of the story. The book is awesome. You get everything that you want in a Larry Zonka book. Check it out. Check out my interview. You can watch it on our YouTube channel. And it's also on, you know, Podbean, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, all Spotify. All that stuff. And you will want this. Larry couldn't have been nicer. Gave me a lot of time. And you'll want to watch this interview. That's number one. Number two, this week, as I said, has been crazy. We have so much content up on the website from DolphinStock.com. Dante Colonelli, who someone I actually trust, that's why he writes for us, broke down the Tua All-22 tape. Watch it. He's got the clips. He talks you through it. He actually knows what he's talking about. Not like some of these ham and eggers we see on social media. He gives you the real skinny on what's going on. Ryan Van Hoover's written about 3 or 4 columns this week. Andre's written a couple. And we got all the media clips. Colin Cowherd, Stephen A. Smith. We got Joy Taylor, Rich Eisen, Chris Long. Remember Chris Long this offseason back in March? I found the clip and tweeted it out. "Oh, Davante Adams went to a much better situation. No one can throw Tyreek the ball. Why would he go to Miami?" Blah, blah, blah. Chris Long went on Rich Eisen this week. Guess what? He changed his tune real freaking quick.
They all do. They all are changing the tunes. Yep. All but maybe one or two.
So I got all the clips you can possibly want. Dan Le Batard, Jimmy Johnson, you name it. Go to DolphinsTalk.com. You might not agree with all of them, but that's not why I put them up. You want it? I would say you want to hear a wide range of opinions, so then you can form your own opinion, and that's why we do this. So check out all the clips from all the shows, and you'll love it.
With that said, I'm going to strongly recommend, if you have not seen the Rich Eisen 9-minute rant about the Dolphins, about Tua, about Mike McDaniel, about how this team is, and it honestly gave me goosebumps, and I've probably watched it at least 5 times so far.
I got that up on the site. I also have, I don't know if you saw this one. If not, go to our website, dolphinstalk.com, and watch it. Hootie from Hootie and the Blowfish, which I don't even think is a band anymore, but it's Hootie, Darius Rucker, was on the Rich Eisen show as well. And he said, you know, talking about the win, great comeback, who calls up Darius Rucker Monday morning? Roger Goodell, and ask him, what size do you want your Super Bowl ring? Darius, great win yesterday for your team. Watch that clip. I got the full clip. That's just one part. That's
awesome.
DolphinsTalk.com. I got all these clips out. Go there. Check them out. You want to share them with everyone? Share them with everyone, too, because some people don't see all the – there's so much stuff. It's impossible for one person to see it all. So share this stuff with your friends and other Dolphins fans, because it looks – is it all sunshine and roses? No, we know Stephen A. Smith doesn't believe in the Dolphins. We know Colin Cowherd, flip-flops. But it's okay. Still listen to those guys, okay? But there's so many other guys as well who are saying – Joy Taylor, you know, she's almost
she's
convinced
been solid
that Tua might be good.
He's been Tua. Yeah, now, yeah.
We'll see how this goes here moving forward, but she might be on board the Tua train here. Yep. But I have all those clips up on the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We've got podcasts from Tom, podcasts from Josh and Aaron, which is always a great listen. Podcast from Stephen Masso. Check them all out, DolphinsTalk.com, the podcast. And as I always say with the podcast, we have so many shows. I did it, and I didn't even mention my interview with the Big O, Orlando Elzagari, on Monday, because Monday seems like 3 years ago. Check out that. I spoke to the Big O for about a half hour on Monday. He's been on the Tua train since day one.
Yes, he has. He gives
his analysis on everything. So make sure you are subscribed to our podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or any of them. So when new, because we're putting out so much content right now, it's tough to keep up. Trust me. So check it out, the website. Follow Ian Berger on Twitter at Ian693. Follow myself at Dolphins Talk. Follow myself on Instagram at Dolphins Talk. We have a TikTok channel as well, which Carter Melrose from the Two Amigos show, Two Amigos podcast, is helping me out on. He's really good at the TikTok. There's only so many hours in a day. I can't do everything. So Carter's going to help me run the TikTok. And he's put up a couple of videos so far. If you're into TikTok, they're very, very good. There you go, 31-27. I love it.
I'll take it.
Dolphins fans, this is a big game this week. Everyone, let's positive manifest this and get to 3-0. And then we'll worry about everything else later. This is one of the state – when you look at the schedule this year, you're circling games. Bills, each one of those games are the first two you circle.
If we beat the Bills, there is no
teams yeah, but.
Left.
It removes the yeah, but from everybody.
Yeah. But yeah, but for me is you beat the Bills, you've beat the best football team in the NFL, and there is no team that the Dolphins should lose to at that point. Even though we know, you know,
you know it's going
to
happen. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
On paper, it shows you can beat anybody.
Correct.
In the league. And I will end the show quoting that great philosopher, Ric Flair: "To be the man, woo, you got to beat the man." And this is the Dolphins' chance this week to beat the man. And Ric Flair is a great philosopher, even though he's kind of a crummy human being. All right, folks, thank you for watching. Thank you for supporting the Dolphins Talk website. We've got a lot of positive feedback this week, all the positive words, the Zonka interview, and for just all the work we do. I can't thank you enough for supporting our website and our podcast and listening. We all thank you, and we hope we continue to put out a quality product for you. And it's, as I always say, these shows are a lot more fun to do when the team wins. And hopefully we continue to win. We have a lot more fun on these shows and talking about a winning team, that our season won't end the first week of January. That's the goal. Let's not end the first. Let's go straight through January into February, and let's keep the positive momentum going. Ian, as we always say, with all this said, we still have to keep our eye on the prize. Remember this. Let's put an end to highway profanity.
Fins up, everybody. Let's go, Dolphins. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.